Amen. If you're glad to be in God's house, say amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to have to shed this coat and really, y'all, this is the first time I've ever did two sermons, the same sermon. Two services together. I hope and pray we can get back to one, but you know what? Whatever God's got in store for us, I just keep thinking about that mercy and grace that he bestowed upon us and how great it is. But looking out through here, y'all, I want to share with you what God laid on my heart throughout this. This message, I've had it a couple of weeks. God give it to me, and I want to ask you right now, each one of y'all in here, I hope I can look at each one of you in the eye. Some of you, when the Holy Spirit gets on some of you, I can tell it, because you will not look up here and you try to look at your shoestrings and try to count how many threads in them and make sure your shoes is tied. And then some of you want to just look, stare straight ahead blank and say, I hope he ain't looking at me and talking about me. Well, I think I'm going to talk about all of us this morning just a little bit, because I want to share what God laid on my heart as I've taken each one of y'all for granted at some point in time. And I want to really talk about that today, is think about the things that you might have took for granted, or things you're taking for granted, or things that people has taken you for granted for. And I wrote down some things, and I want to ask you, think about our families. Do you take your family for granted? What about your job? I mean, I know some of us, we talk about how we don't like to get up and go to work. But do you take it for granted that that helps put food on your table and that put a roof over your head? Do you take your job for granted? Your friends. Do you take your friends for granted? They will always be there for you. Do you take where we live for granted? I mean, for those of y'all who don't live in Madison County, I feel sorry for you, but no, just kidding. But really, do you take where you live for granted in this southern atmosphere we live in? Do you take it for granted? And I want to ask you, and I got in trouble because I seen some elbowing in the previous service, so I hope this don't get some of y'all stirred up. But wives, let me ask you a question. Does your husband take you, don't answer out loud, but does your husband take you for granted? They wasn't no amen, so maybe we're doing all right. Husbands, do you feel like your wife takes you for granted in some aspects of your life? Do you take your kids for granted? Let me stop right there, because God laid this on my heart as I was walking up here and I was seeing these babies, and I heard Ruby holler and I see Candler here, and you know, there's kids out there. Do not take your kids for granted, because, and do not hate getting up every night, giving them that bottle, warming that bottle, changing that dirty diaper, because some parents would kill to have that because they don't have that. You hearing me this morning? Do not take your kids for granted. Kids, these seniors that was up here, I'm going to look at y'all for a minute. Oh, where's Kobe at? There he is. Y'all didn't look happy. Y'all hear me? Say amen if they didn't look happy. They was just up here. Do not take this for granted. Do not take your senior year, now your freshman year of college, if you're going to college. Do not take that for granted. But do not take your parents for granted either. And that leads me to something else. There's some people that don't have parents like you have. Don't take that for granted. There's some people who don't have people, they love them. Even if it's not your parents, maybe it's somebody kin to you that's raising you. Don't take that for granted. And I ain't even gotten to the scripture yet. But do you take God for granted? Even with the air conditioner blowing, it still got quiet in here, right? Do you take His blessings for granted? Do you take His lessons for granted? See, because God created all of this, and He knows each one of us, and We take so much for granted that we can talk to him, and we're going to get into that in a minute, but we miss out the beauty of this world because we take things for granted. How many of y'all seen the sunset last night? Raise your hand. Beautiful, right? Right? Beautiful. But why do we not... Do you remember the sunsets from the last 7 days? Well, I remember a few of them. Just the pretty ones. They all pretty. We miss out on so many blessings that the beautiful things that God's got in store for us because we're too busy chasing other things. We take God for granted. And if you got your Bibles, and turn to Romans chapter 10. But while you're turning, I want you to think of something else you take for granted. Everybody just stop for a minute where you got your Bibles. Do you take the time you spend with your family out for granted? Some of us say, no, I don't. Well, some of us, we can't even answer that question. I'm dropping stuff everywhere. We can't even answer that question. Why? Y'all hearing me? Kids, do not take your parents for granted. Do not be letting your parents see the top of your head rather than your eyeballs. Husbands, why? Don't be like this. Because we take the time that we got to spend with our family for granted a lot of times because we're busy. And most of us, hey, I'm just checking on somebody. I'm just checking the weather. I'm just doing this. Put it down. Spend time. Appreciate the time you have, because so many times we don't see the beauty in sitting straight across from our loved ones and talking about it. So, before we get into the scripture, I got to ask you, what makes you see things differently? What makes you not take things for granted? A near-death experience does, right? You let somebody almost die and watch them change their way of thinking. Somebody almost dies, they're going to start looking at life a whole lot differently than they did before. Right? Y'all with me this morning? And I said in the last service, old boy sung a song, an old country song about it. Live like you was dying. He said he even read the good book. Are you taking that kind of stuff for granted? Do you need a near-death experience to make you look at your life? I'm trying to get you to look at your life right now and see what you take for granted. But something else that also changes the way you look at life. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You get saved and you start looking things a whole lot differently. The world starts seeming like a better place with a lot of evil in it. But you start looking at the good instead of the bad. Amen? So, do not take your salvation, because being saved will make things look totally different. If you, chapter 10 in Romans, say amen. If you will, stand with me in reverence to reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading in verse number 5. It says, the Bible says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on the wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But who saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, even in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to have your own will and way in this service, dear God. There's people in the house today, God, and I praise you for that. But Lord, there's people who still out there listening. Lord, I pray that you'll just give them a special blessing. But Lord, the people in here, I pray that we feel your spirit. Lord, I pray that you move in a mighty way. I pray that you empty me of myself. And Lord, just pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord, on this service and in me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive me for my shortcomings and where I fail you. But dear God, I pray that you would open the hearts and minds that we may be receptive to what your word is saying to us today, and that we may be changed when we leave here. Lord, it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. See, sometimes we as Christians, we take for granted some things, and And what I want to show to you today is this is Paul. He was writing a letter to the Romans, and he was writing a letter to this group of people, and he was talking to some of the people who had been in church their whole life, and they knew the Old Testament, they knew the traditions, they knew exactly what to do. But then also he was talking to a group of people who was new believers. They just received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And as I look through the crowd today, I know there's some people who's been in church their whole life. They was raised in church. They know how to act. They know what they're supposed to do. They know what's coming next in most services, unless you're at DEC, and then we don't know what's coming next. Amen? The Holy Spirit leads. But what I'm saying is they know exactly the Bible, and they know what they're supposed to do. And then there's some new people out here who just received Christ not too long ago, and they need some direction. And that's exactly what Paul was doing here. He was saying we need to get back to the basics of Christianity. We need to get back to the basics. And exactly what is that? What is it? It's faith. It's all about having faith that Christ died on the cross for our sins and for that. So what do we take for granted through this scripture? If you look at verses 6 and 7, we take for granted the access to God. You got access to the throne. See, back in the Old Testament, you had to go to the preacher, and you had to sacrifice an animal. He had to take your sacrifice, and he had to go into this temple, and he couldn't even get to the holy of holy places because there was a veil up, and they had to pray. So he had to go and do all this stuff and wash his hands, wash his feet, and get up there and do certain things. But let me tell you, you can go straight to the throne room yourself because Jesus Christ, he died to make intercession for you and me so we could go straight to the man who created the heavens and the earth, the seas, the sun, the sky, the moon, everything. So we can go straight to him. Amen? We shouldn't take that for granted. You've got an instant access to the Father. Are you taking that for granted today? Or you just pray when you need to? Or do you just say, hey, whenever I think about it, I do. And because back in those times, keeping the law, just so y'all know, it ain't like keeping our law. But, you know, you can go easily today and abide by the laws of this land fairly easy. Some of y'all, I see y'all speeding a lot, and, you know, you don't use your blinker, and some of you don't wear your seatbelt. Some of you try to trick your dinger in your car where it won't ding. You click it behind you. And that's, you know. But for most part, it's easy to obey the laws of the land. But for us, but for them back in this day, for the New Testament, it was a full-time job to keep every one of these laws that said, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you can't do this. And if you do this, you got to do this. And if this happens, so it's a full-time job back then. But then God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. He came to where we was. And do you remember when Jesus Christ came to where you was? The day you got saved, you was far away from God, but Jesus come knocking on your door saying, hey boy, it's talking for me here. Hey boy, you ain't going to get nowhere in life. You ain't going to do nothing unless you receive me. And it took a few knocks on my door. Few trips to the altar, few tears, and I realized there's something in this life worth living for. And I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and he changed me because he come to where I am. And see, that's where our faith is, that it is given to us as a gift of grace. Don't take grace for granted. Y'all know what grace is, don't you? It's giving you something you don't deserve. He's giving you something you do not deserve. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. That's why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross for our sins. So many times we don't have the access straight to God. And the reason being is we use him like a spare tire. I don't know about y'all. Some of y'all got new cars and you can't even get to the spare tire because you don't know how to unlock it on there. Anybody ever went through that here recently? Some of these new cars, you got to stick a rod in there and twist it in certain spots. And if you don't know where to put it, you can't get to the spare tire. Well, a lot of times in our spiritual life, that's what happens. We use Jesus Christ as a spare tire, And you just, whenever things go wrong and whenever things go bad, that's when I'm going to pray and that's when I'm going to go to church and that's when I'm going to ask God to be in my life. But when things are going good and things are rolling good, I'm not going to ask God to be a part of my life. Well, I'm going to challenge you, do not take that for granted, because He is always there and He will be there for you, but you can't take that for granted. And we also take for granted, if you look in verse number 9, the gift of salvation. Because verse number 9 says, "For that if you shall confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Not you might be saved, not you can be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. It's as easy as that. That's all you got to do, is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you're saved. That's why when people come down here and they get convicted by the Holy Spirit and their emotions is high, I say, "I can't pray you into heaven." You've got to pray yourself into heaven. It's not my words, it's your words. So when you feel that in your heart, and then you confess it with your mouth, "I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe God rose, brought Him back from the dead and rose again on the third day. I believe that happened." Then you shall be saved. We, as Christians, a lot of times, we put so much other stuff, and you've got to jump through this hoop, and this hoop, and this hoop. See, a lot of people believe you've got to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. If you're saved, you should want to be baptized, because that's what Jesus Christ said for us to do. But to get into heaven, you don't have to be baptized. Baptism is a public profession of faith. That's telling the world who you're going to serve. That's exactly what that is. But some people, through some of the traditions in church and stuff, they think you got to be baptized before you get to heaven. You don't. The thief on the cross, he just believed and confessed, and he was in heaven with Jesus. He didn't have to go through nothing. So that's why I want to stress to you today, is do not take this salvation for... Now look, it's simple. You know why it's simple? For people like me. Because I know I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I understand that. Some of y'all out there are a whole lot smarter than me. And then some of y'all ain't as smart as me. I picked on everybody on this side this time. And there's some people over here giving me that look right now. Y'all can smile. It's okay. Pam, is it all right? Am I good? Okay. I can feel the look right now. But what I'm saying is, it's simple, y'all. It's simple to be saved. You know what? Confess with your heart, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart. That's it. Why don't we try to complicate things? God is a good God, right? Man, this grace is so amazing. And let that, I put underlined a bunch of times, let that sink in. That is, grace is amazing. And it's simple and it's easy, right? But you know what? What Jesus Christ did for me and you, it wasn't simple and it wasn't easy. He had to carry a cross up a hill, be beat. I shared with the last service, I took my shirt off the other day and a button got caught, and just a couple of hairs of my beard got caught and it pulled them out. And you thought I'd been shot with a 12-gauge. I just rubbed and aggravated and wallowed in the floor a little bit. But Jesus Christ had chunks of His beard pulled out. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. They put a thorn, a crown of thorns on His head and pushed down. Nothing was easy about the cross. Nothing was simple. But He did all of that so it could be simple for us. He did that for you, and for you, and for you, and for me. So do not take salvation for granted. Do not take it for granted. Do not use Jesus as a spare tire, if you will. And a lot of times, we take the joy for granted. See, Jesus come to this earth, and He bled and died, and He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's something to be joyful about. That's something to smile about. Not to come in here with like you just eat a bunch of sour grapes and come to God's house. It should be a joyful thing and something to shout about, right? Y'all agree with that? Y'all don't look too excited right now. I did this last time. If you saved by the grace of God, say amen. See, that's weak. If you have experienced the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, say hallelujah. If you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day, say praise the Lord. See, y'all getting fired up a little bit now. I'm going to read from Isaiah 43. And if you got your Bibles, you can flip. If not, I promise y'all I'm going to read God's Word. But I'm going to read a few verses because this is something I don't think we need to take for granted either. This is Isaiah, and he wrote, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." I'm going to stop right there because this is God saying, you are mine. See, God said, I know you by name. See, Jacob was a man of God that God took him and he created God's own people through Jacob, but he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So God changed his name, and it was a kind of way of saying, this is mine. I used a dog last service, and nobody laughed, but if you got a dog at home, you're going to name your dog, right? You ain't just call him dog. Well, some of y'all might, but you're going to name your dog because that's your dog. God named his people because that's his people, right? So that's exactly what he's saying here is I know him by name. And don't take that for granted, that the man that died on the cross for your sins and mine, he knows you by name. He can call your name out. No matter what you've done or what happens, he knows your name. And then verse number 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." I could stop right there and preach for a day. "I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sabea for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. I will gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created them to my glory, and I have formed ye, yet I have made him." So I want to stop right there and say, God has gathered us all together. Where you from Franklin County, where you from Athens, Madison County, Oglethorpe, Commerce. I don't care where you come from all areas of the earth, God has gathered his people together. And he says that they're called by, I have created for my glory. So have you taken for granted that you are created for the glory of God? Or have you wallowed in that self-pity long enough that you believe the lies of the devil? Do not take that for granted. Do not take for granted that God, he saved us, amen? And that Jesus knows your name and he knows where you are in life. Man. He's got your best interest in mind. If you believe that, say amen. That's weak. That is weak, y'all. We ain't been to church in 3 months and y'all ain't going to say amen. Jesus Christ, God who created everything, the man who weaved all of this together. I mean, these veins, bones, everything together, muscles that formed the human body. He created all of that, and yet he is guiding your walk every day right now, and we shouldn't take that for granted. He's got your best. That means if things are going wrong in your life, things are going kind of sideways, he is still in control, and he is guiding your thoughts to make it better for you. If you believe that, say amen. But do not take that for granted. Because even when things get a little sideways, who in here has asked, God, why is this happening to me? God, why is this happening to the church? God, why can't we meet? God, why? And if you've asked that, raise your hand. Ever in your whole life. Most people. The rest of y'all who didn't raise your hand, I'm going to see y'all at the altar because y'all ain't being honest. Just kidding. But think about it. Some people say, I don't ask God why. There's been a point in my time I have. I promise you. And when I did, and God, he opened the scripture up to me. And when things get crazy and get sideways in my life, and I say, God, why? I really don't need reason. I just need comfort. I don't need answers. I need somebody. But see, because Jesus, he don't come with explanation. Y'all know that, right? Because these minds that I've said a while ago that y'all, some of y'all smarter than me, even those who are most intelligent in this room right here, you couldn't understand the explanation of why God does what he does. I can't explain to you why some of you has lost parents, or why some of you has lost children, or why some of you has lost jobs, or why some of you are struggling. I cannot explain that. And your mind couldn't comprehend, if we wanted to, of why. But something God does give us, and that's his presence. You hear me? He don't give you an explanation, he'll give you his presence. To know that you're not by yourself, that he's there with you. God does not reveal his plan. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. He reveals himself. He don't show you the blueprint of your life. He don't show you the end result. I shared with the other service. You know, we want to build another sanctuary and you need to get an architect. And hey, this is what it's going to look like at the end. They can even paint it and put shrubs out there and landscaping and all that stuff. And this is what it's going to look like in the end. But God don't give us that. He don't give us the blueprint of it. All he reveals is himself to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. He don't reveal the plan, he just reveals his presence. And if you're glad you can feel the presence of God, say amen. He comes to us when we're cold. Jesus Christ comes to us as something that's warm. And when we feel all alone and by ourselves, Jesus comes as fellowship to us. And when we're weak, he comes as strength. And when we're troubled, he comes as peace. And when we're afraid, he comes as courage. And when we're sad, bless God, he comes to me in a song when I'm and to cheer me up. Am I the only one who gets fired up through a song? Because I'm telling you, they start singing about Jesus Christ and start singing like it's under the blood. That song gets me fired up every single time. I want to run a lap, do a back handstand or whatever you call it, just for God. Just because it just boils me up inside, because thinking about I'm under the blood that Jesus Christ died and shed on this world so I can live eternity with him. But we let this world just come in on us. And when we're hungry, he's the bread of life. He gives us that food. So are you hungry to not take for granted what God has done in your life? He is with you. Don't take that for granted. Please don't take that for granted. And he's everywhere with us. So let me say, he's at the supper table with you. He's at the wedding with you when you get married or when you go watch somebody. He's at the funeral home with you when you have to bury a loved one or when you're going to pay your respects. He is everywhere with you. He's at the jail with you. If you're going to visit somebody or if you get locked up, he's taking a nap with you or resting with you when you're at your resting place. He is everywhere with you. He is there with you. Do not take that for granted. Because I think us as Christians, if we all agree, we've taken the gathering together of ourselves for granted in the past. Amen? I hope y'all been longing, been hungry to gather together here. And I hope you look at how much I took that for granted. So if this Bible was taken away from you, would you miss it? Some of you say, well, I couldn't find mine this morning. Well, that tells me you ain't been reading it this week. Some of y'all grinning like you know what I'm talking about. But let's be real. I'm going to close out with Ephesians. Ephesians 2:11. It says, wherefore remember that you are being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcisions by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, which is made by his hands. That verse number 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers in the covenants of promise, having no hope without God. But listen, but now in Christ Jesus, whom sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. All that is saying, verses 11 and 12 is saying, do not take for granted where you come from and where you are now, child of God, because the blood of Christ got you there. Do not take that for granted. Because listen, everyone we know has said it in some point in time or another, I wish I had more time with this person. I wish I've said this to this person. I wish I could see this person one more time. I wish I could hug that person. I wish I could do this. See, I took for granted the time I had with them, but do not take the time you have with God on this earth for granted, because He might have something for you to do to teach, to reach somebody else. Man. We take for granted sometimes that people know about Christ. I'm taking for granted that y'all know about this Savior I'm talking about. But if I take that for granted, who told you? I don't want to be walking through this world, my everyday life, and see somebody and say, you know what? I took for granted that they knew Christ, but I never ask them. You got a loved one in your life, you don't know if they know Christ or not, you better ask them. If you love them, you better ask them. Because you know why? There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That means if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's a hell that's in your future for eternity. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's a heaven that you can spend eternity in. Now that's when you die here on this earth. You're going to go to one or two of them places. I don't want to sugarcoat it at all. But the choice is yours. It's a free gift of grace that Jesus Christ, He died and bled on the cross for you and me. He's knocking on the heart's door right now saying, won't you come and dine with me? And there's no hoops you got to jump through. All you got to do is feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Come down and get on your knees and beg God to save you from your sinful nature. Because let me tell you, this flesh that we're living in, it's bad. The nature is bad. The flesh ain't bad. The nature is bad. The human nature. Because we all got some bad thoughts going through our minds at some point in time or another. Amen? If you're true with yourself, you have to say, oh Lord, please forgive me for what I just thought. If you're like some of us here, it comes out your mouth. It just does, right? We've got to pray on that. Don't take for granted that people know Jesus Christ. Tell them. If you love them, tell them. I'll leave you with this. Don't take for granted the Holy Spirit that you feel when you hear that song. When you walk through these doors, I hope and pray you feel it. Don't take that for granted. Don't take for granted this altar where you can come and lay your sins down, where you can come and get saved, where you can come if you got some people on your hearts and minds that you can put their name in this box and we can pray over, or if you got troubles in your marriage or at your job, you could bring it here to an altar that would alter the walk of your life and change your life for God. Don't take that for granted. I hope and pray that something in the message today has really blessed your heart, and you feel like, because I don't want this to be like a brow beating like you've been in trouble. God spoke to me through this. The things I've been taking for granted. And I don't feel bad about it. I feel good that He hadn't taken it away from me yet. That I can enjoy it. That I can hold on to that joy that He gave me. That I can praise Him. So I want to ask you, if you will, please stand with me.